Well, praise God. We were just talking before we started the recording about how everybody's in a cold snap across the country, it seems like. But it's warm in our hearts, right? Because God is the sunshine that warms us on the inside. And we're to be the salt and light. And I'm guessing we're supposed to be heating things up today for those around us. So praise God. I'm just really excited to be with you this morning. Let's open in prayer, and then we're going to jump right into His Word. Father God, I love you and I praise you. I thank you that you love us no matter what. Lord, I thank you that our circumstances are changeable, but your word is not. That we can stand strong on your word, that we can trust you. Lord, you want to work in and through us to do amazing things so that we can give you an offering of praise, give you back the glory. So, Lord, I just pray that every word that comes out of my mouth today will just honor and glorify you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with each one of us as we listen to your word, that you'll speak to our hearts, not just our heads, but our hearts, that our lives will be changed. Lord, I pray that you will give me supernatural recall of your word. Lord, that you would speak in and through me, that this would be a great time of learning and drawing closer to you. We praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about purpose. You know, one thing that it seems to be chasing me down, just like it tells us when we're the Holy Spirit chases us down, it's purpose. This word purpose, and then using our words and using our voice, I can't tell you how over and over and over again God is just talking to me about purpose. So I wanted to come to you with his word today and just think about what it was like for Jesus. You know, we're supposed to be modeling a life after Jesus, right? I can't imagine, knowing that he was there, because it tells us in the word that he was there at the beginning of creation. So Jesus was there with the Godhead and with Holy Spirit at the time of creation, and they know the end from the beginning. They know what was going to happen. And he said, you know what, I want to create this. Let's create this. And so they did. And he knew his purpose. I can't imagine knowing that I'm going to love something so much, I'm going to give my life for it, except for my family. And so I'm sure he feels the same way. But then to realize that he's going to leave the presence of God, a sinless, amazing place, to come and live in so much sin and darkness and evil, things that just repulse God to surround himself with, and then to be sinless. I'm sure the only thing that kept him going was his purpose. You know, I do a lot of work with people with their finding their purpose, finding their motivational why, staying intentional. And then we see huge transformation come in their life and in their business. I'm sure that's what Jesus was doing. That's where his mind was. That's why he drew in so close to the Father. Even at times of complete exhaustion, he would go away and just rest in spending time with the Father. Do you know what your purpose is? Let's look and see what Jesus' purpose was. It tells us in Matthew 18:14 that it was for him to find and to restore the lost. I can't imagine that he's going to come to this world and he's going to find those lost sheep. Because it tells us right before that, he says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray and gets lost, won't he leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that's lost? And if it should be that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not get lost. So, and just so, it's not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost and perish. He knew that he came as our good shepherd to find and to restore the lost. Now, when I think about restoring, I think about taking something old and making it new. My parents bought an old Victorian home, and it was actually built during the Civil War, and it was in pretty rough shape. But we went room by room, and we stripped the walls, we stripped the floors, and we got down, I think the one layer on just the molding in just the living room, it had 27 layers of paint, until we saw the beautiful mahogany wood underneath. Was it a lot of work? Yes. Was it were the chemicals kind of harsh at times, burnt my hands a few times? But when I saw the beauty in the wood, that natural beauty of what was truly created and handcrafted and sanded and cut to perfection, and we put a light stain on it, it was so beautiful. It prompted us to do the floors. Oh, you want to talk about a job, even with the machine that strips them down, because the varnish and the shellacs were so, so heavy duty and just not the products that we use today. But bit by bit, we restored this home. And we took it back to almost what it was like at the time that it was first created. And that's what God does with us. He not only goes, he seeks, he finds us, but he restores us back to the natural beauty that he created. Sometimes I think about Jesus and all the things that he had to do. And I mean, I can't imagine having people press in onto me so much, so many, many times that you couldn't really tell who had really touched you, except that he could feel the energy leave him when he healed the woman that had the issue of blood for so many years. And how exhausting it must be to have people wanting your wisdom and your knowledge, because he was truly a man as well. He needed his rest. And he tells us in John 4:34, in the New Living Translation, he says, "Then Jesus explained, 'My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me, and,'" now listen to this, "'from finishing his work.'" He said, you know what? I know that you, and this is where he was talking to the woman that at the well, the Samaritan woman, and telling, you know, and explaining that the water that he gives is the only water that truly quenches our thirst. That the nourishment that he gives is the only thing that can sustain us. And his disciples were, I'm sure, a little freaked out when they got back to the well and they realized he's talking to a Samaritan and a Samaritan woman, and she was a woman that was of poor reputation, if you know what I mean. And so for them to come back and find him there, he said, you know, "Just let me rest here. You guys go and get some food. I'm going to stay here." Of course, Jesus knew he was going to talk to the Samaritan woman. But to have his disciples come back and find him in this situation, they were probably appalled. And the disciples said one to another, "Has someone brought him something to eat? Come on, man, get this guy some food. He needs something to eat." And he just looked at them, even as hungry as he must have been in his physical body, and he said, "You know, I'm going to take this as a teaching moment." He says, "My food and nourishment is to do the will and the pleasure of God who sent me to accomplish and completely finish his work." Is that what sustains you? Have you ever been in a place in your business where you just thought, "You know what? I totally forgot to eat today. I totally forgot to go to the bathroom." I mean, I've been there, and I can say probably a lot of my career. I get so involved in serving and completing the work of my purpose that God's put inside of me that time escapes me. I don't even realize that, you know, I've gone 4, 6, 8 hours, sometimes even longer, and I haven't even had a bite to eat. I'm so consumed with sharing what God has put inside of me. And I'm sure that Jesus was talking the same way. And it's not the physical food that sustains us. It's that exact thing that he said. It's doing the will. It's having that pleasure, that motivation from doing what God's put us on the planet to do and to accomplish, and I love this, completely finish his work. God's got a great work he's put you on the planet to accomplish. Are you being faithful? Are you staying on purpose? Are you not allowing the enemy to distract you from it? You know, he goes on and he talks about persevering. He knew that it was his purpose to persevere, even through some of the tough times. He didn't just come in and say, "You know what, okay, I'm being born, and, you know, I'm going to be the savior of the world, but I'm just going to go in and I'm just going to punch the clock, you know, and I'm just going to do the bare minimum requirement." did everything to the best of his ability. I mean, really, let's think about it. When's the last time you had a tough assignment in front of you and you actually were sweating blood, you were praying so hard? Okay, that's not happened to me. Boy, I've spent some time building some calluses on my knees, I'll be honest with you. Especially when things get going a little bit tougher, I'm not sure how to get out of it. But he was so committed, he actually sweat tears of blood, and blood was oozing from him. He was so purposeful that it kind of consumed him with obedience to God until his will was completed. Will you allow, and I'm not saying you have to skip meals or anything like that, and by all means, it's never been intentional. I just get so consumed with obeying God that I want his will to be completed in my life, and I want to give him the glory for what he's doing in and through me. We've got to engage. We've got to be more purposeful. You know, it's not enough just to know what God wants from us. It's not enough to just know what our purpose is. You know, he tells us in the Word, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be sharing the good news. We're supposed to be baptizing. We're supposed to be creating disciples. We're supposed to be casting out devils. We're supposed to be building his kingdom. One of the things I love about the direct selling profession is it provides an incredible platform for us to do this exact thing. And because we have the freedom to share openly, and it's kind of our own business, so we get to determine how we'll execute. Are you executing with excellence? Are you being engaged to the level that is giving God your best, just like Jesus did? You know, I can tell you that there's nothing that substitutes for active obedience. He wants us to obey and to take action on it right away because he wants the completion of his work. You know, have you ever been, right now, this is kind of just driving me cuckoo beans, I'll be honest with you. We've got a puzzle downstairs. We started doing puzzles together over the Christmas holiday. And once everybody went back to their normal routine, we never got the one puzzle completely finished. And so it's sitting there. But as we were working through a puzzle, you know, there'd be one piece, like in one section, and it would just drive me crazy because I couldn't find the one piece, to the point where I would spend hours touching piece by piece, seeing, is this the one that fits in here? And then when you find that one piece, don't you have such an incredible sense of satisfaction from completing it? Doesn't everybody want to be the person that completes that last piece in the puzzle? Well, how will we know if we are, and one of our assignments is the last piece of the puzzle, and then the Lord can return? We've got to be faithful. We've got to touch every area that God's given us to do. We've got to do it with a new sense of purpose. And then we can truly experience that satisfaction from completing what God has sent us to do. Think about it for Jesus, what it must have been like for him. He wasn't doing it for the paycheck. He wasn't doing it for applause. He wasn't doing it for adoration. He was doing it because it was to complete the will of the Father. He knew why he was sent. He knew what it was all about. And he stayed faithful. He was extremely obedient. Are we doing the same thing? I'm trying to turn to Luke 4 right now in my Bible. My fingers are just kind of getting stuck here. Be patient with me. Sorry about that. Maybe you're turning in your Bible too. This is when he, if we go down to like verse 40 through 42 and 44, the Lord was standing over Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and she'd been suffering from a grip of a burning fever, and so they pleaded with Jesus in order to heal her. And in verse 39 it says, and standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. If you've got sickness right now, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. And guess what? She immediately got up and began waiting on them and serving them. Now, at the setting of the sun, this usually indicated the end of the Sabbath, all those who were who had any sickness or various diseases, they brought them to Jesus. And what he did is he laid hands on them, every single one of them, and he cured them. Be encouraged that Jesus is a healer. And his power is working in and through you right now. And he wants to have you be healed. And that goes on to say, and demons even came out of many people screaming and crying out, "You're the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not permit them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ, the Messiah. And then it goes on to tell us the next morning, he left Peter's house and he went into an isolated place. And the people looked for him until they came up to him and tried to prevent him from leaving them. They're like, "Man, Jesus, you can't leave. You know, we want more of you." Wouldn't we feel the same way, right? If there were, he was there, you know, healing. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God to other cities and to other towns, for I was sent for this purpose." So he continued to preach in the synagogues of Galilee. He was doing exactly what he's told us to do. That was the last thing he told us to do when he was on the mount before he went up into heaven. We're to do the same things. And then, look what happens. The people, they meant well. "Oh, Jesus, stay with us. We want more of you." And it'd be so easy for him to just say, "You're right. It's easier. You've got a great place for me to stay. I'm going to do that." But he didn't. He didn't go after what seemed to be good. He went after the God thing, the God purpose in his life. I want to encourage you not to allow the enemy to distract you, because if he can't get you to do something evil and blatantly sin, he'll try to confuse you and he'll try to bring distraction. So we rebuke confusion and distraction in Jesus' name, and we thank the Lord that we are purposeful and on purpose. Do you realize that you were created on purpose? It tells us that in Jeremiah, for a purpose. Do you know that the word, when we read it in the word, when in John 1:1, when it says the word was with God and all that, the word, referring to Jesus, the word there actually translated is logos. And logos actually means purpose. He was there with his purpose at creation. He spoke the word into existence, or the world into existence, with the spoken word, which is the purpose. And we can control what happens to us, and we can make the situations different by what we speak and by allowing the word, Jesus, to use his word being spoken through us. How powerful is that? Let me ask you, what truly drives you? What makes you decide that, you know what, I'm not wavering. I'm staying on the God plan for my life and for my business. It tells us in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man," God, or Jesus, I mean, "came to seek and to save that which was lost." He's seeking you. You might have got distracted. You might have got derailed. But he's seeking you. He's given you your purpose. That should drive you. If you need to come back to him, maybe you've been lost. We've all been sinners, right? I'm sure somebody in your mind right now, you're thinking, "Oh, yeah, yeah, that person, they need this. This is a good message for them. Yeah, yeah, they need to be more on purpose. They're the sinners." If you're thinking that, you've got the sin of self-righteousness. He came for you. He came to seek you out. He came to find you. He came to restore you. Come back to him today. Get more purposeful. Look at your purpose. Look at your why. Make sure that it drives you and drives you closer to Jesus. And then be careful what you speak over your business, what you speak over your life, because those words are powerful. You know, if you go to my website, under the free section, there's some scripture affirmations there. If you're doubting what the Lord's telling you, I'm telling you straight up right now that he's got something in the word for you to bless you. You know, John 8:12 says that Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you'll have the light that leads to life. You don't have to spend your time in darkness. You can come to him right now, and he can make a huge difference for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you that you have created us on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. And we ask that you help us to stay faithful, to live it out. Lord, to help us to be your salt and your light. Help us to be the ones that are casting out the demons, that are healing the sick through your power through us, that we're faithful to really do everything that you've given us to do. Lord, I thank you that you love us so much, that you are directing our paths, and that when we just draw into you, that you direct every path, that you'll be with Bonnie as she goes into Las Vegas for her trip and her travel, Lord. We just pray that you'll guide each step. Lord, we pray that you'll keep people warm and safe as we're in this cold snap. Oh, Lord, warm them from the inside out. Lord, you are just so amazing that we want to make sure that we honor you and give you glory for absolutely everything. Lord, I thank you that you've given me the revelation to put together the document that says who I am and what I think, the scripture with healing, Lord, and to make that available to the people that are here on this call and listening to the replay. Because, Lord, we know that your word tells us if we think things are impossible, that you tell us in Luke 18:27 that all things are possible. When we think, you know what, this isn't worth it anymore, you tell us in Romans 8:28, it will be worth it. You tell us when we feel that we can't manage, that you're going to supply all of our needs, according to Philippians 4:19. When we're afraid or worried and frustrated, you tell us that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, and that we need to cast all our cares on you, according to 2 Timothy 1:7 and 1 Peter 5:7. And Lord, for those of us that struggle with forgiving ourselves, you tell us in 1 John 1:9 and Romans 8:1 that you've already forgiven us. You tell us in Proverbs 3:5 and 6 that, you know what, we don't have to try to figure everything out, but that you're going to direct our paths, and we need to think like you do because we don't think the same way. And Lord, we know you've given us more than enough faith because you tell us in Romans 12:3 that you've given everyone a measure of faith. Lord, I pray that you'll be with those that are brokenhearted. Draw them close to you. Lord, thank you for saving our spirits when they're crushed. Lord, we thank you that our bodies are healed and that we've got an abundant supply. Meet every need. Thank you for this time. We glorify you and we honor you. We praise you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it a great week, everybody. Hey, I just wanted to give you a quick heads up. I'm not going to be doing the prayer call next week. We're actually going to take a break. Know that I will be praying for you, but that I'm going to be with John Maxwell, and I'd appreciate your prayers as well. I was given one of the highest honors within our team, and that's to introduce John from the main stage in the opening session, and I'm a little nervous. I'll be really honest with you, and I'm preparing what to say to him or say about him, and I appreciate your prayers this week as well as I grow and develop myself. But know next week that we won't have a call, and then we'll resume again at the beginning of March. Make it a great week. Know that I love you, and we'll be talking real soon. Take care, and God bless you, everybody. Bye.